And now tonight's parting words. They're from comedian George Carlin. He died 6 weeks ago today. We could get all sappy, but then we heard a bit from his final album released last week. Turns out he'd already given us the perfect way to pay tribute. And it's so George Carlin, 100% irreverent.
So you know what I've been doing? Going through my address book and crossing out the dead people. You do that? That's a lot of fun, isn't it? Gives you a good feeling. Kind of gives you a feeling of power. A superiority to have outlasted another old friend. But you can't do it too soon, you know? You can't do it too soon. You can't come running home from the funeral and get the book out, you know, and be looking through the book. You can't do that. A little time has to pass. You have to let a little time go by. I have a rule of thumb, 6 weeks. If you're a friend of mine and you're in my book and you die, I leave you alone for an extra 6 weeks. 6 extra weeks in the book, on the house, it's on me. But after that, hey, facts are facts. F*** you, you're dead.
Hey, he would have wanted us to do that. And that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Andrea Seabrook. Have a great week. The slowing economy is only one reason that Crocs have tanked. Crocs are those brightly colored plastic clogs dotted with holes that were all the rage last year. No more. The Colorado-based company has now closed a manufacturing plant in Canada and laid off about 1,300 workers. And Crocs' stock price has fallen 90% over the last year. NPR's Jeff Brady reports the company is trying new ways to survive.
Standing on the 16th Street Mall in downtown Denver, and let me tell you, when it comes to Crocs, people have very strong feelings.
I think they suck. They look stupid.
I mean, there's a few people around in our neighborhood that wear Crocs, but we clown them, though.
They're comfortable, but they're stupid. They're ugly.
That was Haley Norberg, Lloyd Love, and Ashley Dixon. All think the time for Crocs has well passed, and sensing that something once very popular has fallen, others are piling on. There's the I Hate Crocs blog. It contains videos demonstrating various ways to destroy the brightly colored clogs, such as with fireworks.
Do not try this at home.
Oh, I only got one, but it started to burn.
The company even acknowledged this phenomenon recently in a television advertisement featuring a man staring at a blue Crocs shoe and screaming.
Ah! Why are you wearing these? Why? Why? Why?
But clearly, not everyone hates Crocs. Even with an expected 20% decline in U.S. sales this year, the company will bring in about $800 million. During a recent webcast, CEO Ron Snyder didn't talk about his company's image. Instead, he blamed the economy for Crocs' financial troubles.
A combination of a very challenging economic environment, a sharp downturn in mall traffic, and retail is becoming more and more cautious with the frequency and quantity of their reorders.
The company also has had to deal with lawsuits, patent problems in Europe, competition from knockoffs, and reports that a few kids wearing Crocs got them stuck in escalators, causing some injuries. The company now includes a warning label with each pair of shoes. Jeff Mintz is an analyst with Wedbush Morgan Securities, which was involved in Crocs' initial public stock offering.
A lot of people believe that it's the end for the company, and I don't think so. I think they have a viable strategy now.
In May, the company hired a new marketing expert who used to work for Nike, and Crocs is developing new shoes that barely resemble its clogs. The company also plans to tailor its lines to the stores where they're sold, so the Crocs you find at Macy's will be different than those at REI.
It's probably something the company should have done, you know, 18 months or 2 years ago, having, you know, anticipating the end of a fad, which always comes.
Mintz compares the company's stock fiasco to the high-tech bust nearly a decade back. At the first sign of bad news, Crocs investors lost confidence in the company and the stock plunged. He says the company now has to rebuild that faith and convince investors and consumers that Crocs is more than just a passing fad. Jeff Brady, NPR News, Denver.
Back now with Day to Day and our regular Thursday treat, What's the New What? That's our weekly series looking at new trends in young America. It's produced by Youth Radio. Today, Youth Radio's Jordan Monroe fills us in on the hip new accessory. Watch out, it may shock you.
What's the new what? Stun guns might be the new pepper spray. Pepper spray was once just a tool for police and law enforcement officers, but it became standard equipment for average consumers. Now some stun gun companies are hoping those consumers will swap their cans of pepper spray for something a bit more shocking.
When you're in a very stressful situation, you can just go, okay, I know how to use this thing, press the button, and then you're done.
These are testimonials from Taser International's website.
It gives me a great peace of mind knowing that my wife is walking through that parking garage and she's got her hand on her taser.
Now, here's Steve Tuttle, representative for Taser International, a leading company in the stun gun market.
What we're telling people is that when you've got millions of violent crimes per year occurring here in the United States, there is no denying that we've got an issue with personal safety. There's no scare tactics beyond that.
Okay, no scare tactics. But this music from Taser International's website does make me a little afraid. So I asked USC professor and author of The Culture of Fear, Dr. Barry Glassner, is this feeling that we need to protect ourselves justified?
We live in about the safest times in human history and about the safest place in human history in the United States right now. And yet there's this generalized fear out there of the mysterious stranger that's out to get me and to get my children and my family, because that's what we have had promoted to us by people who are selling themselves in campaigns or selling products.
So fear sells. But how about if you can also look good? Some tasers come in pink and leopard print, and are even equipped with MP3 players. So I'm a little confused here. Is it a weapon, or is it an accessory?
You know, there is some confusion when you look at the website.
Steve Tuttle of Taser International.
Is it a gimmick? Is it an accessory? No. What it is we're making personal safety fashionable. If it's not fashionable, the women aren't going to carry it, and quite frankly, the men aren't going to buy it for their spouses and their girlfriends.
This attempt to be fashionable is a bit too much, according to USC professor Barry Glassner.
But it's not surprising, because what we're trying to do here, if we're a company selling these sorts of things, right, is to make them more socially acceptable and to make them cool.
Making stun guns cool might take more than just slick advertising. The devices have been stigmatized by well-known incidents like this one.
Don't tase me, bro!
When campus police from the University of Florida tased a student activist. Law enforcement agencies are facing legal challenges for the use of stun guns, and Amnesty International blames the devices for contributing to nearly 300 deaths.
Oh my God.
But America's chronic fear might catapult stun guns from police holsters to women's purses. And if that happens, I think we'll have to admit that stun guns might just be the new pepper spray.
Youth Radio's Jordan Monroe with this week's What's the New What? To listen to past What's, and last week we stunned quite a few of you, go to npr.org/what.
Last year, the American Institute of Architects polled Americans about their favorite buildings. Top of the list, the Empire State Building, followed by the White House. These are old, iconic structures. Very few contemporary buildings made the list. In France, it would be a similar story, old over new. But NPR special correspondent Susan Stanberg says one of France's most famous architects makes a mark with new buildings, even when he designs them to disappear.
Jean Nouvel is the 2008 Pritzker Prize winner. It's architecture's top honor. He is not that well known here. Nouvel did the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis and a small condo in Manhattan. But in Paris, Jean Nouvel is famous. And his most recent building, a museum of primitive civilizations, is very controversial. It's on the Seine River near the Eiffel Tower, sacred space. So Nouvel made the museum low and set it back from the beloved waterway. And the wall that faces the river will, he hopes, eventually get lost behind a garden.
The landscape is not completely done because we need some years. But at first it will be a building you could not be, you will not see the building after 10 years, because with the trees around, it's a kind of secret building in Paris.
This is typical Jean Nouvel, not diverting attention from what Paris loves, its tower, its river, making a mark by fitting in. Christine McKenty, head of the American Institute of Architects, says Nouvel does that with all his buildings.
They're all unique to kind of where they fit and what the client or the city or the community is looking for and what that building is about.
I think he would argue that he has no signature.
This is Ron Bogle, who runs the American Architectural Foundation.
That he lets each building kind of express itself in its context.
Quite unusual for an architect to not say me, me, me through his designs. But Jean Nouvel from Sarlat, a medieval city.
It's a very small town, 10,000 of inhabitants. Yeah. Yeah. 10,000 inhabitants, sorry for my stupid English.
Almost 63 years old, tall and hulkish, Jean Nouvel's designs and manner seem modest, despite the Pritzker Prize, the brace of commissions from various emirates, and the prospect of a 75-story glass skyscraper next to New York's Museum of Modern Art.
And what does it mean to an architect to be able to make a mark on the skyline of Manhattan?
You cannot imagine what is this for a little guy of the southwest of France who wanted to become a painter and who became an architect by mistake. that is really something inimaginable for me before.
Architect Jean Nouvel, he just won a competition for Las Vegas, a 4,000-room hotel with a casino, a convention center, a theater, and a mammoth aquarium with sharks and whales, in the middle of an American desert. Vive la France! I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
Now you've heard what critics have to say about Nouvel's work. If you want to see it for yourself, go to npr.org.